Good morning, and welcome to the Madison Baptist Church of New Jersey on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. This morning we wanted to say to all of those who have just selflessly and courageously served our country for our freedom, we're thankful. We pray God's peace and blessing to all those and their families, all of those that are in their circle of influence, and thank them so much for the dedication, the commitment, and the loyalty to give us the opportunity to be here today. You know, we live in a world that's obviously troubled. We live in a world that's bleak. We live in a world where many people are fearful, they're worried, they're discouraged, they're depressed. They're trying to make some sense out of life and what their purpose is, what the meaning is. You know, when we look at relationships, we're not very good with relationships. We see, you know, marriages that fail. We see families that have many, many issues in many, many places. Not only are the issues personal, they're private, but the issues are also collective. Collectively, everyone has issues. And on top of all of those, personal, private, collective, when you watch what's on the media, now we have everybody else's issues and problems. So we live in a world that's issue-oriented, that's troubled. And in the midst of all of these issues that are going on in our world today, the bad relationships, the failed marriages, the dysfunction that we see around us, just despondency in people, we still know this. In the midst of everyone doing everything that they possibly can to find that meaning, to find that purpose, to find that peace, it's just not being found. It's not being found. But I think there are some things in all of our lives that we are truly in need of. And this morning we're going to look at a passage of scripture from John in chapter 16, verses 25 through 13. And I think we'll be able to start to glean from the scripture really what we're in need of. And those three things that we are in need of are our love. We are people who, and rightfully so, and there's nothing wrong with it, who want to be loved. We want to be loved genuinely. We want to be loved sincerely. We want to be loved unconditionally in spite of all of the negative about us, in spite of all of our issues, in spite of all of our insecurities, in spite of everything about us that maybe isn't lovable. Deep down, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody also, I believe, wants somebody they can trust. Someone that is a safe place for them. Someone that is a safe person for them. Someone that they can put their total faith in. So we want love unconditionally. We want to be loved. We want to know that there's somebody safe for us. Someone that we can trust. Someone that we're secure with, someone that we have peace with. And then the third thing I think everybody deep down wants is hope. Everybody wants hope. Everybody wants to know that there is hope for a better future tomorrow than the present maybe of today. And so deep down in the heart of all people are these three things: love, security, or faith, and hope. So we have love, faith, and hope. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, he said, we have faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of all of these is love. It's also, when you think about faith, hope, and love is offered to us in the gospel. And what is the gospel? You know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him, there's the faith, there's the trust, would not perish, but have what? A hope, a future of everlasting life. So when we talk about love, faith, and hope, it's offered to all people, just as the gospel is offered to all people. And in the midst of the gospel, we have faith, hope, and love. You know, the gospel provides faith, hope, and love for us. And so Jesus here, he's talking to his disciples in this portion of scripture. he's going to be leaving them. He's going to be leaving them. So in the minds of these disciples at this time, they were starting to have a little anxiety. They were starting to worry. He's going to be leaving us. Because the years they were with him, what did they experience? While Jesus was with the disciples, they were loved. While Jesus was with the disciples, there was security for them. There was trust, faith, if you will. While Jesus was with the disciples, they saw the hope. And now he was getting ready to leave. He told them he was getting ready to leave. He also told them, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. Jesus, in the midst of this, and they're sitting there now receiving this, and just think about this, in their minds, they must be going, why? Why? See, they were troubled in their minds. They were distressed. And what he's trying to do here is encourage them. So let's look at this scripture. Let's look at the scripture this morning, John chapter 16, and we'll begin in verse 25, and then we'll work our way through it. In John 16, 25, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth me and loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I come forth from the Father, and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb." Now you're speaking very plainly so we understand. "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God." When Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold," he says, "the hour cometh, ye is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Everyone will be scattered. You'll leave me alone. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." How do you have peace in the midst of that? Just imagine that, what was going through their minds. He told them he was leaving and explained to them exactly what was going to happen. And in their remembrance of him, they were loved. They had someone that was they could trust, and they had hope for a future. And now he's telling them he's leaving. How do you have peace in the midst of that, if you think about what they were thinking? And let's look at that today, in our own world today. How do you have peace in the midst of what's going on in our world? Sometimes in my own life, how do I have that peace in the midst of all the turmoil, of all of the surrounding circumstances that are not positive? How do you have peace? And so let's go back and let's back up to verse 33. We'll start in verse 33. Verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Let's talk about the world. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about the physical aspect of the world. What we're talking about is the system of evil that exists in our world today. The system that dominates humanity today. And the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the current world. He dominates the human life. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about we're in a world where there is tribulation, where there is trouble, where there is persecution, where there's pressure. That's the world that we live in today. And when we think about that, we think about that system, if you will, in that world, you're going to have peace. How? Well, we're going to get to how. Let's look at tribulation. The word tribulation actually means pressure, disturbance, uncomfortableness, distress, duress, persecution. That's tribulation. And in our lives, I think each and every one of us go through that. That's the tribulation now. The world system produces that type of tribulation for the believer in Christ. Okay? The Bible tells us that even in the chapter 15 and 16 of John, Jesus told them what they were going to encounter in the world, what was going to happen to them in the world, what the world was going to be like for them, the persecution that they would encounter, the martyrdom that they all encountered, how they were treated, how they were viewed, who became their enemy, who they thought was their friend and realized, no, they're not my friend now. All of that stuff that went on back then is in our world today. It's as real could be today. Paul said that we're destined for this type of treatment as believers in Christ in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 3. Imagine being destined for that. And so in their minds, they had to be distressed. They had to feel the pressure. He's leaving. Who's going to love us the way he loved us? Who's going to secure us? Who can we really trust the way that we've trusted him? Who can we really look to give us a hope and a future? And all of those same things, the love, who can we trust? Who can give us a hope and a future? Most people are looking for all of that today. Most people want that sense of security today. And when the material part of the world starts to grow, that becomes harder and harder to find. Because we try to find all of that self-satisfaction in material things. And that's what the world produces. In the face of all of what was going on in the world for them back then, in the face of what's happening to you and I in our world today, then Jesus says, in the midst of all of that, he says, take courage. Some versions of the Bible say, be of good cheer. So how do you survive? You know, did you ever have a difficult time in your life when someone came up to you and said, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay, you know, just, you know, gut it out, you know, toughen up and, you know, be good, be tough, you know, work your way through it, just plow through it. You know, at that point in time, that's really not what we want to hear. We don't really need a pep talk. And let me just say this morning, Jesus wasn't giving them a pep talk. There's a big, big difference when we try to pep somebody up or encourage them and when Jesus is trying to do it. He's, first of all, Jesus, when he does it, it's really a command. See, when we do it, it never works because you and I have zero power. We have zero power over the circumstances that we're in. No power over the circumstances that we're in. So, you know, sometimes it's not always the best thing to say something. You know, there's times when nothing said is the best thing. But here Jesus has total control over everything. He has total control over everything. He's got control over every circumstance in life. And so when he talks, it's a much different story than when we try to encourage someone. There's nothing wrong with us trying to encourage someone. Nothing wrong with when we see a brother and sister or a friend going through a difficult time and we attempt to encourage them. But there's a great difference here in this passage of scripture. This is a command that's spoken by Jesus. It's a divine command spoken by Jesus. He says, this is what I want you to do. And the reality is this, the disciples were probably scared to death. They were worried, high anxiety, just like in our world today. Many people are worried, fearful, high anxiety, but deep down they would never admit it. Jesus is saying this, I'm going to show you three things in the midst of all of this. In the midst of this chaotic world, this chaotic human system that you're living in, just as Jesus was saying to the disciples, I'm going to go. I'm not going to be here much longer. But you guys in the world are going to be persecuting you because they persecuted me. Right? They're going to hate you because they hate me. They're going to hate you because you're not of this world the same way that I'm not of this world. So everything that happened to me, Jesus is saying, is going to happen to you. The Apostle Paul affirmed that through his writings. And so we as believers in Christ, we as children of God, will encounter the same type of situations in our lives. But in the midst of that, he says, be of good cheer, take courage. It's a promise. He's saying, I'm going to show you three things in the midst of all of this, and I'm going to show you this, that you're loved. That you are loved. You're loved. I'm going to show you that you're loved, no matter what the circumstance is. The love has a beginning and it never ends. Right? It has a beginning and it never ends. The love that Christ has for his never ends. There is no circumstance, there is no situation. The Bible tells us in Romans, neither height nor depth, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing at all. So in the midst of the dysfunction, in the midst of the evil, in the midst of what we see around us today, you're loved. You also are secure. There's someone that you can trust. In the midst of that, you're not alone. Sometimes we feel totally alone. We don't have someone we could talk to. We don't have someone that we can just bare our soul to. Well, can you imagine a life when you don't have one person in the world that you could totally trust? Well, you can trust Christ. The Christ will never leave you, will never forsake you. And you have a hope. Sometimes you look into people's eyes and you're talking to them and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I know in my own personal life, there were times when I was in darkness. Well, prior to coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior, darkness couldn't have been darker enough. Just amazingly dark. And then there were times as in life as your faith needs to grow and you go through adverse circumstances, it's like I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I trust. And the more that you trust, the more that you believe, the more that you put your faith, the more that light starts to shine. And you from that little glimmer, now you can see. And then you can, you know, it's after the storm. There's a wonderful song, after the rain, you can look to the sky again, and the clouds will give way to the light of the sun. We will go through storms in life. We will go through adverse situations. We will be talked about, lied about, written about, persecuted. Jesus said, if they did that to me, they will do that to you. And so you're loved, okay? You're secure. And you have a faith, hope, and a future. This is a divine promise from Jesus. Divine promise, he shows us these three things. And so this is what everyone needs. This is what we need. So the question then becomes, why don't people come to Christ? Why don't people come to Christ? Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so, why don't people come to Christ? It's a simple reason, because they love their sin. They love their sin. And so, when we get to the point where we're willing to see our sin for what it is, see that eternally separates us from God, and see the pain that we're in. You know, people never change until that pain of staying just who they are continually gets too much to bear. They'll never change. People will never change. And when that pain gets too much to bear, Christ is there waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting to those who come to Him. He will give you not a perfect life, but a life that you can live with peace and joy. Peace that gives you a tranquility for your life. Peace that you can rely on. And the joy in spite of the negative circumstances. Peace in the midst of the circumstance that's negative, and a joy in spite of the circumstance that's negative. Peace in the midst of the persecution, and joy while the persecution is continuing. A joy to live your life and continue to just live anxiety free. And most people are searching for that today, I believe. They're searching for the love. They're searching for someone that they can trust, a safe person, someone that can give them a hope and a future. Those are the three things, and those three things are all in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're there for each and every one of us, each and every person who God created. Each and every person that God created has the opportunity to experience peace, to experience joy, and it comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, Jesus is saying in verse 33, you know, in this world you're going to have difficulties. In this world you're going to have pressure. In the world you're going to have stress. In the world you're going to have negative things happen. But take courage, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world, Jesus says. And to those who call on Christ as Lord and Savior, to those who repent of their sin, to those who turn from their sin to God, to Christ, those are the overcomers. And the same way He's overcome, we overcome. So we can live that anxiety-free life. We can live a life of peace and joy in the midst of a world that is not our home. Our home is with Christ in heaven, where He reigns. But He will come again. He will come again. And when He comes, He will take His. And our prayer is that we will be there with you, just reigning with Christ forever and ever. And it's in His name we pray. God's blessing to you. Amen.